The Gospel this weekend offers us two very distinct sections, and they are related, but I aim to focus on the first of these, while the questions that we're offered online for discussion or our own personal reflection focus on the second section, and hence the questions there around community. But the intercessions will link both of those sections for us. So now may I speak in the name of the living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For this first section, I wish not so much to offer reflections as perhaps an invitation to prayer. We have here the shocking scenario, almost at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. We are only in chapter 3 of Mark. A double-edged sword being used against Jesus. Firstly, his family and friends rescue him with the excuse or the belief, we're simply not told which, that Jesus was mentally ill or unstable. The phrase it uses to quote, he has gone out of his mind. And the people then, secondly, that he needed rescuing from, if indeed he did need rescuing, were these Jerusalem scribes, and they had travelled a long way to get to him. And here they accuse him of much worse than having a mental illness, but of conspiring with evil forces in order to draw attention to himself. Evil forces here in this reading is personified in using two names. The first is well known to us, Satan, which is actually just a word, a noun, meaning accuser, but it's been made into a name and then also a title. And then the second, Beelzebul, who is a top honcho in the kingdom of evil, if there's such a thing. Because why accuse of a little thing if you can accuse of a loud thing? It's what we would today call perhaps black magic, the far end of a spectrum. It's not, of course, an attempt simply to discredit Jesus or discourage his ongoing ministry, but rather to sow seeds for being able or to have license to kill. For that is what was done in those days to the mentally ill, because mental illness was thought to be catching, certainly it wasn't understood, and so killing the mentally ill would have been seen as a form of protection of self or of society. For sure, Jesus was not murdered because he was being nice. He upsets people by his actions, by his words, and by his growing influence, which at the very least would have made leaders of the day envious and angry, and at the worst, as we have here, would have challenged the basis on which they held their received power. And as such, Jesus was standing in the tradition of the prophets. Prophets today come in different shapes and communicate in different ways. Among them, some journalists and some writers and some artists. And what they offer can be readily dismissed as simply weird or unhinged. Or they get kidnapped on flights or poisoned. 2 millennia after these gospel events, we know and understand much more about mental health. It has dominated the news during this pandemic and brought talking about it out into the open at least more than it used to be. From tennis players to princes to young people, and more than a few at St. Catherine's have personal experience of supporting family or friends through mental health concerns. Irrelevant is neither the rise in domestic violence and breakdown, not only in long-term relationships, but previous ways of connecting with people. And there is much out there that will tell you that post-pandemic, to only return to those relationships and friendships that are good for your mental health. And I wonder what you make of such advice. Mental health splits broadly into two very different scenarios, and in our ignorance and fear, we often lump them together. There are people who are ill, long-term or short-term, and they need treatment, like any illness does, if things are not to get worse. There are others who see the world differently, who are not ill. And here we might include those who are bipolar or with ADHD or borderline personality disorder or Asperger's syndrome. The list goes on. We used to throw the introverts and the nerds in here too, but they've recently become rather useful. So after beating the crap out of them at school, they usually emerge as quite cool these days. Apart from the pandemic, two other bits of news have dominated recently. The attention has rightly been given to institutional racism, and attention has rightly also been given to the environmental crisis. But there are other news stories than these. There are other streams of injustices which are propagated by fear and manipulated by people like our scribes in today's gospel reading. And I think the area of mental health is one of those which can be manipulated, propagated through fear. So staying with those who in Jesus' day would have been thought of as demon-possessed and thus done away with, I want to say nothing more really other than to challenge our own encounters with each of these two categories of people, those who are ill and need treatment and care, and those on that other list. But both of these, where have we got our views about their human worth from? The existence of people who are mentally ill or mentally different are, at the very least, a challenge to society about how we value human beings. And they are a challenge for us as Christians who live in the biblical tradition. The biblical tradition, just to remind you, the biblical triad of social justice, orphans, widows, and immigrants, lumped together like they are, because they encompass any and all who are denied access to what the rest of society is allowed to take for granted. Access to a voice and being heard, access to economic participation, and access to other things like education and healthcare. And I would say the mentally ill, or the mentally not neurotypical, is the phrase that's used, would fit into this triad very well. So this weekend, when we are reminded by the gospel that our Lord was himself accused of being mentally unstable, and that by his closest, his nearest and dearest, regardless of what their motives might have been, and accused of collaborating with evil by those whose power was threatened by the life and blessing he came to offer, accused in order to silence, and indeed to silence forever, because that is what murder does. So let us pray for victims of such accusations. Let us pray for those who are actually mentally ill, and in these days of stretched resources, may they find and get the care that they need. But let us pray also for those who see the world differently to how we do and are lumped in with the mentally ill. And in all of that, families, communities, those who love and support and pray. And indeed, finally, let us also pray for ourselves, whatever our relationship with this context may be. Amen.